Good morning, church. Good morning to everybody. It's, you know, it's a perfect song for what's been going on this week. Very perfect song. And, you know, it just, you know, put your hope and your trust in Jesus. I mean, that's where it needs to be put. Absolutely, that's what needs to be done. All right, I'm going to be over in Acts 16, if you would. Acts 16, beginning with verse 13, I'm going to read down. I'm going to talk about Lydia this morning. If you can't stand, if you're able this morning, stand to read in honor of God's word this morning. Acts 16, 13 through 15, it says this. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I pray, Father, that you would be with the Scripture this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would open up the hearts that are here this morning, Lord. I pray for that, Lord. Lord, I ask you, Father, that, Lord, as of all things that are said and done here this morning, that, Lord, our minds would be focused on the Word, and that, Lord, that you would open it up to us in the way that you would have it. I want to praise you for the souls that are here this morning, Lord. And I want to ask you, Lord, to be with me. Take me out of the way, Lord, and Father, anoint me this morning, and we will praise you for all that is said and done, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. One of the things that the Lord had talked to, that impressed upon me when I started reading this scripture was, first off, you know what? Philippi was a wicked city, and I know we've went over this here just lately, but it was a very wicked city. As a matter of fact, it was known as Little Rome. Is what it was known as. There was very little work of God going on in that city. You know that? Very little work of God. And how do we know that? How did I come to that conclusion? Did you know there was no synagogue in the city, in Philippi? Why? Because they went down to the river to pray. Why was there no synagogue there? Because there has to be at least 10 Jewish believers there, 10 Jewish believing men, for them to do a synagogue. Like that tells me there couldn't even have been at least 10 there to start a synagogue. And you know what? But praise God for women. Praise God for praying Christian women this morning. Amen? Because why does it tell me that? Because they were Jewish women that went down to the river to pray. You know what? They didn't know what was going on with this Christian thing, with this Christ thing yet. They didn't know. They went down there to pray because God was impressing it upon them to do that. So as I read the scripture to you this morning, as I read it to you this morning, we're joining a prayer meeting this morning. You know that? That's what we're joining. They're gathered by the river side praying for enlightenment. Praise God. I want to ask you something. Have you ever got on your knees and just asked God to enlighten you? To show you what is needed in your life at this time? Can I encourage everybody in here this morning to do that? To get on your knees sometime. Not to ask God for anything, but to get on your knees and say, God, show me what you want for me in my life. They're gathered by the river praying for that. They don't understand all of the Old Testament scriptures. They don't understand what's happened with this Jesus thing. They don't understand it. They knew some of it, but they didn't fully understand it. They haven't received the message of the gospel yet. They haven't received it. And at that very moment, God sends a missionary team on the scene. It tells us that Paul and his group go down to the river where they're praying. And it says, don't you love how God connects people together? Don't you love that? Yeah, I praise God. We talk about it here all the time, how that there are times in our services where somebody will say something. Somebody will say something, and it just connects right with the sermon, or connects right with the preaching. Brothers, that's God at work. That's not us. And anywhere people are praying, can I tell you this morning? Don't forsake praying, because wherever people are praying, God is working. The prayers of a righteous man and woman, I will say, availeth much. Can I have an amen on that this morning? We can do that. Now, in reading the scripture, you might come to the conclusion that this took place because of Paul's wisdom, or the way Paul was, or what he did. Let me get this out of the way right now. No preacher, no evangelist can open the heart of any person. Now, I can bring the word to you this morning. I can't drag you to the altar. I can't take you and make you come up here. I cannot open your heart. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. The power of the Holy Spirit through God the Father can do that this morning. No one can choose you to come up here. No one can coerce you to come up here this morning. And no one can manipulate you into doing something that you don't want to do. I'm here to open God's word to you this morning. Listen, I went to a revival with Jeremy the other night, and we heard a preacher that could spit out more scripture just standing here than I could read to you, and he could do it bang, 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 bang. And listen to me, I can't, the word is what takes and does the work in your life. And only the Holy Ghost can open the scriptures to you this morning. Only the Holy Ghost. Listen, the opening of a heart is not man's work. It's God's work. Absolutely. It is God's work to open the heart of a man. Philippians 2:13 tells me this. For it is of God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God and God alone, God and God alone, that can open the hearts for his purpose. God and God alone. And I'll tell you, as I stand and preach from week to week, sometimes hearts are opened and sometimes they are not. I preached for years. I preached at many churches down through the years. And there have been hearts that have been opened. And there are hearts that have been shut tight. And I tell you, and it breaks my heart sometimes when I think that. And any preacher will tell you the same. You don't stand up here and preach week after week and think, you know, and you're wanting hearts to be opened. I can't explain it. There's no formula to it. There's none. It's the work of the Holy Spirit only. I've been in churches, Bev, where the Holy Spirit has started on this side and it just gently moved across and people's hearts were stirred. I've been in churches where one person's been stirred by the Holy Spirit, and that's fine. He doesn't work the same way all the time, but I'm telling you, he and he alone does the work. But as the scripture I asked you to mark earlier tells you, a heart that's opened to the Lord. I want you to understand that here this morning. If you got that in your Bibles in verse 15, it says, it talks about that. It talks about a heart that's open to the Lord. Now, I can look around and everyone looks like they're paying attention. Amen? I can look here this morning and I can look at every face and it looks like everybody's paying attention. But I also know you can be present without being present. You ever been there? I'm going to be the first to admit it. I've sat in churches before, Greg. I've listened to preachers, and I zoned out. And I was sitting there on that pew, and that preacher was probably preaching his heart out. But there I am. I'm thinking about something 15 miles away. We all do it from time to time. How many of you have sat in a church pew? How many of you have ever done that? We've done it. We've done it. And it seems like, listen to me, and when the Holy Spirit moves over us, at those times, if we let him work with us, and our hearts are so, it seems like a door opens, and we're like a sponge. Have you ever sat in church and listened to someone preach or teach, and it just seems like, Alita, it's talking to you. Amen? We've all been there. And let me point out, Paul wasn't trying to make something happen. Did you notice that? It said he went there and he sat down with them. He didn't go kick down the door. He didn't come back and grab somebody and drag them to the river to be saved and to be baptized. He let the Holy Spirit do it. Look at verse 13 again. And on the Sabbath, he went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And what did he do? He sat down. He was waiting and he was praying. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up on wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Folks, there's time we need to wait on the Lord. There's time we need to sit down, pray, and wait on the Lord. There are times. And let God do the work that only God can do. Only He can do. Jesus said, in your patience does what? Possesseth your soul. In your patience, Christians, possesseth your soul. I can speak to your ears and maybe to your mind, but only God can speak to your heart. Amen? Amen. I can stand up here and I can talk right to you. You could hear what I'm saying. But unless God is talking to you, you're not absorb what I'm saying. Let me ask you, are you wide open to God this morning? Now, I'm not going to ask you to open your hands, but I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in here has to answer that question to yourself, whether you're young or whether you're old. Are you wide open to God this morning and letting God work in your life and letting him do the work that only He can do? Paul understood this fully. Because if you go back in Acts 14, 27, he's given a little missionary report back there, if you go back and read it. And he says this in 14, 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. Not what they had done for God, by the way. I hope you're not sitting here this morning thinking that, man alive, I got to church this morning and I'm all this and all that and a bag of chips. Brothers, you're just doing your will. What God wants us to do. If you're here this morning, it's not what you're doing for God. You should be praising Him that He saved you and allowed you to come to church this morning. Amen. Listen, Christians, aren't you glad this morning that one day God opened the door of faith and swung it wide open? And guess what? And you, by faith, received Him into your heart. Aren't you glad this morning for that? I praise Him every morning for it. For the record, I'm a whosoever will preacher because Jesus was a whosoever will Jesus. You remember when Paul said, though I myself have reason for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee. Do you know how the Pharisees prayed every morning? I know you'd probably know this. They would get up and thank God, I am not a woman. Thank God, I am not a slave. And thank God, I am not a Gentile. And that was their prayer every morning. Isn't that sick? Isn't that sick? Aren't you glad that when Jesus came, He made all things new? He made all things new. Praise His name this morning. Listen, how ironic is it that Paul went from praying a prayer like that to writing scripture like this? There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? He went from praying a prayer of the Pharisees to scripture like this that we can hang our hats on. God wants the door open so anybody that wants to come to Him can come to Him this morning. Paul was a preacher that believed prayer would open doors. How many of you believe that here this morning? I believe prayers can open doors. I believe it. Paul went to church at Corinth and said these words, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me. There are many adversaries." Now understand this. Just like Charlie Kirk when he died, there's many adversaries out there. You get to preaching the word, you get to preaching the truth, and standing upon God's word without backing down. There are going to be people that are going to come after you. They're going to come after you. In 2 Corinthians 2:12, "Furthermore, when I come to Titus to preach Christ's gospel, and the door was opened unto me of the Lord." I'm going to tell you something here this morning. This goes for me just as well as you. Brothers and sisters, we need to be praying for a whole lot more doors to be opened around us. The fields are white for the harvest. Give us the opportunity to talk to a lost soul. Give us that opportunity. Then if you go to Colossians 4:3, what's so important about Colossians? It's one of the prison epistles. Paul was in jail. He was in prison, chained to a Roman guard at the time he wrote this. And I want you to listen to what he said. "With all praying also for us that God would open unto me a door to get out of prison? No. A door for it to be better for me? No. Open unto me a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, which I am also in bonds." His only love was to do for Christ what he could do for Christ. I read somewhere where he got to speak during his time in prison. He got to speak to around 3,000 people. Those were guards, most generally, because there was one chained to him every day, changed out every 6 hours. If you're in jail, would you probably want people praying, "Lord, get you out of jail"? I would say we would. Paul wasn't praying that the prison doors would open. He was praying that the gospel could be opened. That's the door we need to be praying for. Sometimes we're praying for the wrong doors to open. Don't you believe that? I believe we are sometimes. I believe we're praying that we should be praying that God would use us to tell someone about Jesus instead of about everything else that we like to pray to open up to us sometimes. John understood, and in the book of Revelations penned these words to the church of Philadelphia. He said this, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." Now understand that. No man can open it, and no man can shut it. "Thou hast a little strength, has kept my word, and has not denied my name. This is divine, unstoppable path forward for those who want an open heart, that are willing to listen to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit guide them." Notice, no man can open it again, and no man can shut it. And it goes on to say, when you open your heart to the will of God and God opens the door, even the hounds of hell cannot come against you. Do you understand that? If you're on fire for the Lord, the hounds of hell cannot even come against you. You look at 12 verses later, John talking to another church, and he says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." The painter that wrote that, a guy by the name of Holman Hunt, whenever he painted that picture, he covered it over and took it to his church to take and show it to them. There was a bunch of there was a crowd there. And whenever he took the cover off of it, they all looked at it and they was amazed at the picture. It had a picture of Jesus standing there knocking at a door holding a lantern. Why? Because he's the light of the world. And that door represents the souls. But one of his critics was there. There's always a critic. Always. He said, "Well, there's no doorknob on the outside." And you know the story. Why there's no doorknob is there because Jesus doesn't open the door. He said, "You got to open the door." Brothers and sisters, this is where you hear the Holy Spirit knocking at your hearts this morning. Do you hear it this morning? Are you sitting back there this morning? Not me, but the Holy Spirit doing this. Doing this. Church, do we understand there is a convicting work that God does by the Holy Spirit? But you must respond to it. Jesus stand, and he gently and graciously and lovingly and patiently with long suffering knocks. I'm going to tell you what. He knocked on my heart for a while. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that he didn't quit knocking. I'm thankful that he didn't quit knocking. And I opened my heart to him. And praise God, I've not been the same since. Jesus does it. The human heart can only be opened from the inside. And guess who has to open it? It's us. It's us. Lydia knew of God, but she didn't know God until verse 14, whose heart the Lord opened. Folks, Paul didn't do this work. That was actually a work of God. It started in Lydia's heart. She let God come in. She let the Holy Spirit come in and convict. Every good thing that God has ever done with mankind begins in the heart. Did you know that? Every good thing that begins with mankind begins in the heart. And every evil thing starts there as well, too, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Praise God this morning. Praise God this morning. You know that we have the opportunity to have our hearts opened unto that kind of a God. Amen? We have that opportunity here this morning. It didn't start on the outside and work its way in. Praise God, when I got saved, it started on the inside. And it worked its way out. And sanctification process worked through me. It's not reformation, it's regeneration. You know what happens whenever Christ, you open your heart to the Lord after you're saved and continue to open it and let the Holy Spirit work? Listen to me. It's reproving you. It's correcting you. It's convicting you when you need convicted. And you know what? Drawing you, if you're unsaved here this morning, it's drawing you. And can I tell you, don't resist it. Don't resist it. There's nothing like when God begins to open the heart of a sinner. Nothing like it. I've seen people cry like babies. I've seen people grab the back of pews and not want to come to an altar. I've seen people just grab the back of a pew and the pew shake because they were under such conviction. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It is an individual thing. Do we understand that? It's not a group sport. God saved me. He saved Tink differently than he saved me. We are two different individuals. And praise God, that's what he does. He wants to, he loves you as an individual. He wants to save you as an individual. That's what he wants to do. How was that heart opened? It was open because of the Word of God. That's how it was open. God's Word's like a hammer that breaks to pieces that stony heart. That's what it's like. That's what it's like this morning. Remember, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to do what? Save your soul. No preacher that ever preached, no teacher that ever taught, no sermon that was ever preached can do what the Word of God can do even by itself. It was the Word, was the gospel Jesus said the best. And when I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I got lots of preachers I love to listen to. I do. I listen to a lot of them down through the week. I listen to a lot of preachers. And if I wanted to stand up here and lift them up, but that ain't going to save a soul. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. The Word is what opens the heart and brings change. If you allow it to get in there, it's what brings the change. It's not me. It's not anybody else. Born again. not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For the word of God is quicker, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Only the word of God can do that and open your heart. Only. Now, I think everything in the Bible is there for a reason, don't you? Every jot and tittle, right? I believe every word is. Listen to this. And you go to verse 14, how the writer talked about Lydia. He said this, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, we all know that. We've seen that in there, right? She was financially well off. She was. She's probably pretty rich, because that was a lucrative business back in the day. But there's a truth in this scripture that I want to bring out. And all the success that she had, she was still lacking something. All the money that she had, she still lacked something. Can I praise God this morning and say this? I don't know, you may be sitting there back here this morning and thinking that you've got it made. Or you may be sitting back here and think that you have everything in the world, but there's something still lacking in your heart. Let me give you what it is. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. All the money in the world cannot buy salvation. I hope you understand that. You could have every bank in the world filled with money, and it will not buy you salvation. You get to the end of life, and I will guarantee you this, every drop of money that you have will not mean nothing to you. You're laying on that deathbed, getting ready to go out of this world. I can almost guarantee you're not thinking about money. You're not thinking about it. The only thing that will matter was your heart wide open, and are you born again, and are you saved? So let's read, I'm going to read verses 14 and the beginning of 15. Whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, and when she was baptized, in her household. She was baptized in her household. When it says she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul, she not only listened to the word, but she let it go down into her heart. That's what I'm telling you this morning. Don't just sit here this morning and just listen to it. Because if this is doing this to you, the Holy Spirit is, let it sink into your heart. Let it sink. She wholeheartedly received the word of God. She was saved. And what happened? And when she was baptized, folks, listen to me. Baptism didn't come before salvation. But baptism followed as soon as she could get to the water. Amen. Amen. Let me go a little farther in verse 15. It says this. How do you suppose her household got saved when it says this here? And when she was baptized in her household, how do you suppose they got saved? I can just see her going home. I can see her going home. And I can see her grabbing her husband and saying, honey, look what happened to me. Grabbing her children. Probably had her, listen, look at what happened to me. Brother said, when they went there, it said her and her household got baptized. Somebody else in the household got saved. Amen. Listen to me. Listen. She was a witness for God. She was that witness. Don't you believe that whenever our hearts are open to the Word of God, that we will be a witness? That God will open the opportunity for us to be a witness to somebody somewhere? Do you want to see anyone come to God? I hope you do. I hope and pray that that is your goal every day. I hope when you get up and pray, that you pray, Lord, open the door of opportunity for me today to speak about your good name. Speak about your good name. Paul did look at what he said when talking to King Agrippa. He said this, and Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day would become Christians. God longs to use that wide open door. He longs to use it for each and every one of us to spread the gospel. Jesus opened everything he touches. I know I'm going a little long this morning. Praise God this morning. Whenever the blinded eye was shut, Jesus touched it and was open. Whenever the ear was deaf, Jesus touched it and what? It was open. Whenever the dumb couldn't speak, Jesus touched it and it was opened. Whenever one day, can I tell you something? Christians, one day he's coming back and his graves are going to be opened for all those who are born again. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you ask him to open the heart for someone to share the gospel message, I'm telling you, he will give you that opportunity to do it. He will allow you the opportunity. Some way, somehow, when God saved her, he got every bit of that woman. He got every bit of Lydia. He said, listen, when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if we have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained him. Her whole life went open to serving God. Now, I'm not saying you got to open your house to the whole church. I'm not saying that. But what I'm telling you is this. When you get saved and your heart opens up, I'm telling you, it'll go beyond and above what you think it will be. It'll do that because we serve that kind of a God. Look down at verse Acts 16:40. This is after Paul and Silas was in jail. This is after they got out. Remember how the ground was, and they got out. Where did they go? They went to the house of Lydia. Listen to what it says in Acts 16:40. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren and comforted them and departed. Now, there's more people there now than just her family. The brethren were there. It wasn't just her family. Lydia's living room was full of believers. Why? Because I believe Lydia went out and she spread the gospel more than just her family after that. And I believe her family went out and spread the gospel. And I believe her husband went out and spread the gospel. Praise his name this morning. Is your heart open this morning? Are you open to that this morning? I'm here to tell you, you know, God's wanting to do a work. He wants to do it in you. And he wants to do it in me. Let me ask you this morning, say, get a song. Julie, get a song, please. This altar's open. I'm not just asking. If the Lord's knocking upon your heart, I'm begging you. Come here this morning. There are people here to pray with you. They will. Let's stand, please.